So after the sermon today, our anthem is going to be the Put a Little Love in Your Heart. It's awesome. And you're all invited to sing along because we're going to jam. We're going to continue our singing and dancing together for Advent. But so the title seemed for the sermon seemed fitting to be The World Will Be a Better Place. And we're picking up on the theme that we've been following of finding our shared humanity with each other and the things that bring us together and help us to connect, things like music and song, places of truce, places of silence for listening, and our stories that we share with each other. And speaking of stories, I can't wait to hear your stories on the Lessons and Carols Sunday. So if your name's not on the on the sign-up sheet, make sure it's there, because I really do want to hear your stories. It'll help me to get to know you better as well. But as I think and reflect on this Advent Day of Love, and reflecting on Flo and Jen's lovely wedding yesterday, and also on Flo's wonderful oratory on love and his experience of love and the vulnerability that love brought to him, it made me think back on some stories, stories that led me into ministry, stories that lead us as a community out to do ministry too. And so last week I had an opportunity to catch up with one of my old friends from seminary. He's a gentleman from Turkmenistan who is gay, who came to the United States, and now is a hospice chaplain. And he's like, I call him my mini Buddha. He grew up in Christianity, but practices, draws on spiritual traditions from many faiths. And so Enver and I, we decided we would go see the Night Bloom exhibit at the San Francisco Conservatory of Flowers in Golden Gate Park. So we were walking along. We got there early, before 5 when it opened. And so we just strolled down the path to a National AIDS Memorial Grove that I have never been to. Have you all? Have you ever been? A few of you have been. It is incredible. It's a place of incredible beauty and sanctuary. And there were names scattered on rocks or on paving stones or on benches that were lifted up. And it was really a sacred and hallowed place. And there was this one boulder with some rock cairns. Do you know those little stacks of rocks? They're called cairns. And you find them on paths leading up mountains to sort of mark your way. So there's this boulder, a couple of little rock cairns stacked on top, like a waymarker. And on it, it said, "The root of all wisdom is to love one human being." And I found that, and then there was the name of who it was in memory of. But it was so beautiful. It was like beautiful. It was like this waymarker of love and how someone in learning and journeying through love with someone found wisdom. And so we, Enver and I, wandered along on our little path together, and we were sharing stories. And Enver was reflecting on his own life, and he said, you know, as I grow older, now that, you know, where he and I are both in middle age, he's like, you know, I'm more careful where and how I invest my heart, because my heart is full of holes. And that just feels where I am. And that little phrase really stuck with me. I'm like, all our hearts are full of holes. We all have holes in our hearts. And we carry them, and hopefully we can love them. But we also need those holes to be treated with love and respect as well. And it really stayed with me as I wrestled with this sermon about love. Because today's theme touches on that, because it's Advent. But it's also in that third verse of Silent Night, which we're lifting up and celebrating. And I'll just read those lines again. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. And that line, it stuck with me, and I was reading all the commentaries, and I have a little mini pastor's rant here, but it's related to the sermon. Right, so here I am. I love Silent Night. It is truly my favorite hymn. So when this series were published, I couldn't be more delighted. I'm like, oh, a whole worship series devoted to Silent Night. I'm like, yes. And then I read the commentaries about love and redemption and grace. And even as it unpacked the theology of this little beautiful hymn, I found myself feeling frustrated in the way I do sometimes as a pastor, which is that Christian theology so often focuses on the brokenness, on the sinfulness, on the shamefulness of who we are as creatures, and not on the wholeness and the completeness with which God sees us and views us. And so when I read that little third verse of the dawn of redeeming grace, I'm totally down with the grace, right? And I totally get that we all need redemption sometimes. But on this particular day, when I was reflecting on all that everyone is carrying, including here among us, I was like, what if we didn't have to be redeemed? What if we are whole and complete exactly as we are? And the grace is in us really taking that in and accepting that. What would it do for the holes in our hearts if we came from that place? And you know, this last week, I ordered a couple of books actually to help with next week's sermon on hope. But I couldn't help but notice some things about these books. One of them was written by a guy named Chris Voss. He's an FBI investigator, a FBI hostage investigator. And he wrote a book called Never Split the Difference. And I will know more about it next week when I've, you know, read most of it and I can actually preach to it. But the basic place where he comes from is that when he is in negotiations, and he's now trying to apply what he's learned to, say, business, but also to interpersonal relationships, like in marriage, when we treat other people as whole and complete as they are, who can tell us what they need and what they want, and we create space for that through listening, through creating spaces of truce, that transformation happens. Not only can transformation happen, but lives can be saved, like in real life, in real time. And that this skill set of really approaching people, no matter who they are, that they are whole and complete, including people who are in enemies and, you know, broadly speaking, how we would define that. That change really happens, that connection can be made, and that empathy is possible, even in that sort of situation. And that really struck with me too. I'm like, there's got to be something to this wholeness and completeness bit that's really theologically grounded and resonates with the core of who we are as people, that we do better when we're treated as complete and whole as we are, not when we're treated as if we're broken or shameful somehow. In John's gospel, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, it echoes all the way back to Genesis and creation, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was enfleshed in Jesus. And it's a powerful statement from that Johannine gospel. And it does echo all the way back to Genesis, where I sometimes feel like all our troubles began. I heard some laughter, right? I'm not mistaken, right? It all got started in Genesis. Yeah. So there's the trouble. It started with Adam and Eve in Eden, and then the trouble with the serpent and the apple, from which we still apparently to this day need redemption. And that's when I get frustrated as a pastor, because this story has a powerful hold on our imaginations, and we've all taken it in to our very core of our essences in some way or another. Otherwise, we wouldn't be laughing as much as we did. But I wanted to offer an alternative interpretation of Genesis, which is related to John, which is related to where I'm going. But one of my seminary professors wrote a beautiful book called Divine Communion. And he offers this interpretation that is gorgeous to me. But he talks about how God walks in the cool of the evening. Do you remember? God walks in the cool of the evening, and he calls out to Eve and Adam. He can't find them. Here he is taking a gorgeous stroll on a gorgeous evening, and he wants to play. He wants to play or interact or commune with his creation and the folks that he created to be in communion and relationship with. And they're hiding. They're hiding behind the bushes. And God says, "Why are you hiding?" And they say, "Well, we're naked." And God's like, "Who taught you that you're naked? What's up with that?" And all of a sudden, it was this learning of humanity's understanding of shame or that brokenness. And what if we interpreted the Genesis story that that's the problem, that we think we're broken and we can't trust God's call to us to come out from behind the bushes and be beautiful exactly as we are with all the holes that we have in our hearts, just exactly that. And that the grace, those radiant beams are God's call to us on that lovely stroll in the evening, just to come out from behind the bushes. And what if we, instead of moving from a God that punitively threw Eve and Adam out of the garden and then, in his own remorse, sent Jesus as a sacrificial lamb to die for our sins? What if instead of that we move from a God of grace and love who is yearning for communion with us, who wants us to come out from behind the bushes, to a God who is still so yearning for communion with us that God sends God's only Son, and we're all children of God, but a Son who guides us back on that journey toward wholeness and completeness and trusting in that wholeness and completeness so that we can join in relationship with the divine that is in us, in others, all around us in creation, however we understand that mystery of divinity, that God is there, that love is there, just waiting for us to reach it and to touch it. How would that change us? And one of the things that I would like to pick up next week again, sort of pointing some signposts ahead, because this is one of those sermons that we lay a little bit of groundwork today, and then we kind of build upon it a little bit next week. But there is this tectonic shift sort of happening, especially in mainstream Protestant ministries today, where this sort of theological interpretation is becoming more mainstream. But it's very hard to shake the stories that we've grown up that are embedded in us. But it really is changing how we approach things, because so many churches are finding renewal through reorienting their whole idea of service, not towards sort of going out and helping the broken people who need our help, but through going out and being with people and being transformed ourselves in that interaction. Because God's self is transformed in our scripture through our interactions with God. We see that. And so when we, like when Noah, for example, just in case you need an example, like, God apologizes to Noah. It's one of my favorite God apologies. And, you know, but we are continuously transformed and in dialogue with divinity. And it's, we think about that, and it changes our interactions with people, what we're for. And I have to say, as a minister, I don't know if you know this, but most people who go into caring professions were fixers. How many of you know that already? Yeah, or maybe if you're in a caring profession, you might already, right? It's like, the world is broken, and I know how to fix it, right? It's all about us. And so the pastor's journey, as in with most caregivers, is learning that the world is not, in fact, broken, and we are not the Messiah. You know, the world is beautiful, but we can find the strength in the world and build it up and encourage the world to flourish in the places of strength, like loving the weaknesses, being tender with the holes in our hearts, but really finding the places of strength and lifting that up. And we'll build on that again a little bit next week. But it is related to how we interpret Scripture. Do we interpret Scripture as saying that we are fundamentally broken? Or do we interpret it as saying we are fundamentally whole and God loves us and God is with us no matter what to the end? And all we have to do is just show up and do our best and live from that place and trust in God's love, and be transformed from those places. And especially at Christmas time, when Christmas, the very definition of Christmas is the incarnation of love, how can we succeed in that if we cannot first love ourselves? So we have to begin there. Because as my favorite mentor pastor said, you can't show up for other people unless you can show up for yourself first. I have to say that's when my own life began to change. And so my challenge to you all this coming week, this third week of Advent, is just to, when you have a quiet moment, just one time during the whole week, take 5 minutes and reflect on how your life might be different if you really, truly, 100% without reservation believed that you are whole and complete exactly as you are and worthy of love exactly as you are, what might be different? That's one challenge. And then if you still have energy after, if you just do that, that's like a whole major spiritual practice all by itself. That could be impact for a whole lifetime. But if you still have energy and you want to think about it, what would be different if you lived from that place and how you as a person relate to other people as whole? So whoever's homeless or whoever is struggling with addiction, or what does that mean really when it comes down to it? And we'll explore that again a little bit next week. But for today, I want to wrap up the sermon with a little prayer that captures sort of the essence and the feeling of where I hope this sermon has gone. And it was written by Reverend Deborah Vaughn, who is a hospice chaplain. So I started with a story about a hospice chaplain. I want to end with a prayer by a hospice chaplain. And this was on RevGal Blog Pals from earlier this week. She said, "Holy One, I started today with the best of intentions. I had grand plans. Okay, vague ideas. But one by one, they crashed. And perfection, it faded into the sunset. But if I'm honest, I know in my heart of hearts that what was left was still pretty amazing. So remind me, Lord, when I fuss, because things are not perfect or the way I planned, that life with you is life of grace. And every crack and crumble is pretty sweet. And may I not forget that the present, imperfect in my eyes, is still full of your presence. Amen."